Today, standing with me, Colossians chapter number 2 this evening. Colossians chapter number 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter number 2. We'll read verses 7 through 10 this evening responsively. I'll begin reading in verse number 7. And then you'll join me on verse 8. We'll read all the way through verse number 10. Colossians chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 7. The Bible says, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for all that you've done for us today already. It's been a good day in church, Lord. It's been wonderful, Lord, to know that your presence has been here with us. Lord, it's been great to study the Bible, to hear the Word of God preached to us this morning. And here we are again, Lord, this evening. May we empty ourselves of ourselves and yield ourselves to you, so that way you can fill us with your Holy Spirit's power, but we'll also gain a truth that, Lord, will make us a better Christian so we can do more for you as we leave from here. We're excited about all that you've done for us. Lord, we're excited about the direction of our church and where things are going. But Lord, we'll never get to where you want us to be unless tonight we get from you what you want us to get from your word. So please, may our hearts be tender, may our minds be yielded and focused to the word of God as it's preached. Fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit's power now as he preaches. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open to Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to get us there in a moment. I love the English language. It's an amazing language. One of the things I hate about our culture is how we're destroying our language. I mean that. We change the meanings of a word, and then through a process of time, we rewrite history by going back in history with new meanings to what was different in days of old. Not only that, we destroy the beauty of our language. I'm not going to belabor it too much here, but the English language is beautiful when it's used correctly. It really is. Much of the English language was taken from the Greek language. A lot of people don't understand this. The Greek language, the Koine Greek, was popular for several hundred years before the Roman Empire, when the Greek Empire ruled the middle part of the world, Europe and part of Asia and that area, northern Africa. Even into the Roman Empire, it wasn't until the end of the Roman Empire that the language changed. Did you know they spoke Greek during the Roman Empire? It was the universal language of the day. Latin didn't come into being until about the 300s. So that's why in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, it talks about, for such a time as this, God sent forth his Son. When the world was speaking virtually one language around the world, and the Bible was put into print for the entire world to be able to read, God sent his Son. It was ripe. Now, the King James Bible is not a translation. The King James Bible is a transliteration. It is word for word as God intended it to be. A translation goes through a process. A transliteration literally translates it exactly as it is. I realize the Greek language is much like other languages where the modifiers come after the noun and things like that. They put it into the right order, but it's not a translation. It's what they call a transliteration. The words in English match what the words in the Greek or the Hebrew were. Now, listen to this. We must be careful not to use modern meanings in English when we read and study the Bible. Let me say that again. Be careful as you read the Bible that you don't use contemporary meanings of words as you read the Bible. We're to read it as God originally wrote it. By the way, that's the way we're supposed to read the Constitution too. That's the way we're supposed to read history. We're not supposed to read it with new meaning. We're to read it as it was in the day that it was written. We should not apply 2022 definitions to words in the Bible. We need to look at these words in the light of the time in which they were penned, not as we define them now. Now, such is the case with the scripture that we read tonight. I believe there's a great truth in here that will help you understand something about scripture. And I'm not telling you something that's not there. People will sometimes say to me, "Preacher, how do you get that out of the Bible?" It's because I've been reading the Bible and understand, and I don't look at it in today's vernacular. I look at it as the way God wrote it. And you study it from as God intended. For instance, did you know that the word slavery is not a bad word? Through most of history, it wasn't till the middle 1900s did slavery mean what you think of about slavery. Slavery literally meant a live-on employee. Someone who lived on the property that was a paid employee. Part of their pay was room and board and housing. That's what the word slave meant. It doesn't mean what you saw in Roots. Boy, that's going back some years, isn't it? It's not what the liberals want you to think about it today as. Did you know that during the Reconstruction after the Civil War, and I'm not being racist when I say this, did you know that the slaves did not want their own land? They did not want their own property. They wanted to go back and work for their masters because they were loved there. They were comfortable there. And most of them, the United States government tried to give them 40 acres and a mule, and they would give it to them if they would just take it, and most of them refused. Now that's... somebody's train's blowing here. I know it wasn't me, all right? That's all I can tell you. So we've got to realize that words have changed meanings, and we look back at history sometimes with the wrong meaning of a word. Now, God tells us, look at Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8. Beware. That word beware means this: be cautious, be careful, be observant. You go up to a house and on the gate it says, "Beware of dog." That means rattle the fence really good and hard to see if something's going to come out and eat you up. If the chihuahua comes out, just hang on. The other one's coming. God says, "Beware, lest by any lest any man spoil you." Now, wait a minute. That word "spoil" does not mean something that's going to cause you to rot or ferment or be unusable. Not like what was in your refrigerator after 6 weeks. Okay, it's not a science fair project that's rotting in your refrigerator that's spoiled. That's not what the word "spoil" means right there. The word "spoil" here is a military word. Do you remember back in the book of Exodus when the Egyptians were the Jews were getting ready to leave Egypt and the Passover was about to take place? And God said, "Go to your neighbors and spoil them of their gold and their jewels and their costly array. Tell them you're going to go worship." And that spoiling meant this: they were actually taking the most valuable things, taking them away as a... let me say it this way: it's taking valuable possessions after battle. It's a luxury of winning a battle. That's what spoiling means. You know, a lot of our soldiers in war or things, they'll take a souvenir off of somebody that's been killed in action or something from the enemy. World War II guys were coming back with Luger pistols and all kinds of things, you know, bayonets and SS this and all kinds of things. You say, what was it? They were spoiling the enemy. They were taking something of value for themselves and bringing it back. Now, God tells us, beware lest after the battle someone steals what is valuable. Christians and Americans, we need to beware. We've allowed the enemy, which is the world, the flesh, and the devil, to spoil us long enough. We really have. We've allowed the world and liberalism and all kinds of things to spoil us by saying we have to love and accept and never take a strong stand. I get a little tired of sissy Christians. Nowhere in the scripture does it say I have to endure all of their filth just because I'm a Christian. Everybody doing okay? Well, you can't legislate morality. You're trying to legislate immorality. Now we have churches powerless and fly the rainbow flag and have been spoiled and can't preach the Bible, and they wouldn't know what preaching was if they were in a wet paper bag. I get a little sick of going by churches and seeing the rainbow flag hanging. You can go any state in America and see it. Grace Baptist Church, let's not let this church ever be spoiled by the devil. I don't want the devil to enjoy one moment of the defeat of this church. I don't. I pray that if I ever die and leave this world and leave this place and this church ever goes liberal, I pray that the day a liberal takes over, the whole thing falls down on top of them. I really do. I want nothing to do with that mess. We need to stand strong on the truth. God tells us there's four areas of attack that the devil's going to use to try to spoil us. And I want to show you those four things quickly tonight. First of all, God says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Philosophy is the study of the nature of knowledge, i.e. education. America has educated herself to stupidity. I am for education. I'm for teaching people to read and to write and to be able to do math and not have to use a calculator. Amen. Or a computer or Siri. But America has educated herself right into foolishness. Education has become a god. I made this statement this morning. 77% of Baltimore, Maryland seniors are at a lower elementary reading level grade level in reading. I guess our philosophy of education is not working. Everybody doing okay? I can back it up. Go to the schools where I went to, talk to the children that I was in charge of educating. I promise you one thing, they know how to read and write. They knew how to read and write. They may not have had the most expensive sports uniforms and may not have played 67 games in a basketball season, but they could read and write and they could win people to Christ. They knew their Bible. They could say yes or no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. They understood respect. Now, wait a minute. There's more to education than just going to an educational institution. I'm going to say some bold things here. Hang on. Did you know that the church is God's house and it's God's work? It's not supposed to be like the world's. I get a little upset at statements like, go to the church of your choice. How about we go to the church of God's choice? Well, I want to find a church that suits me. How about you find a church that suits God? Since when am I the issue? Everybody doing okay? We're not supposed to pick a church because we like the preacher, though that's helpful. We're supposed to pick a church because it's right. And it takes the right stand. And it's going the right direction. Using man's ideas and philosophy to do God's work is absolute, utter foolishness. I am tired, and this is an oxymoron, and this is a degradation of the English language, of what they call new fundamentalism. Again, that's not a real term, but that's what they're using. We're trying to be culturally acceptable. What is that? Adding philosophy to God's work. No, we're supposed to use Bibleology, not philosophy. Let's use the word of God, not what, we're not going to have adult Sunday school classes. We'll call them adult Bible fellowships. That sounds so much nicer. I'm not saying it's sinful, but what's wrong with Sunday school for everybody? What's wrong with Bible preaching and Bible teaching? What's wrong with thus saith the Lord? Okay, go ahead and get mad at me. And there's churches that do this and they're successful at it. I'm not angry with it, but I believe the teenagers ought to be in Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church getting the tar preached out into by the preacher, not some youth pastor. If it's good enough for mama and daddy, it's good enough for the kids. We ought not be playing games and playing pool and air hockey while the parents are getting taught the word of God and the kids are playing and eating hot dogs. It's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before that happens here. And again, I know there's churches that do it and somewhat successfully. God bless them. And I'm not saying if someday our church grows and we need to have a room for bus teenagers because we got to teach them to get them into the auditorium, but we're going to rotate them into the auditorium and I'll preach the fool out of them. I'll teach them. I'll learn them. Amen. I'm not afraid of it. I believe that everybody needs the same kind of preaching. Now, I understand junior church. Thank God for Brother Lopez. You ever walk down that junior church room, you'll thank God for Brother Lopez. Trust me. That little crew of workers. Yeah. We hear them in here every Sunday morning till the preaching starts usually. But thank God for it. And they're getting things. Those of you that had kids in junior church, you know they're getting it. And I'm for it. But we're not supposed to use man's philosophies. I'm going to get in trouble. We're supposed to use truth, not psychology. Brother Scott, I know pastors in our country, Baptist preachers, who are sending their church members to psychologists for counseling. Well, folks, I've heard Baptist preachers who pastor large congregations say, well, these people need professional help. Well, if you're not a professional, get out of the ministry and do something honest. Amen. Yes, sir. I'll promise you, I'm a professional at people's needs. I've studied it for 40 years. Been practicing it for 32 years. Isn't that what my job is? And I can help you a whole lot better than some shrink when you lay down on the couch. We don't need philosophy. You say, well, it's a Christian psychologist that went to the same secular university and got the same secular degree. Men like James Dobson and Hocus Pocus on the Family. Hocus Pocus on the Family. Yeah, Focus on the Family. I don't use philosophy on people. I don't use tricks on people. I understand teaching. I understand preaching. Don't take this the wrong way. I think I know people well enough. I probably could move a crowd in my own flesh if I wanted to. But I don't. I know how to keep your attention. I know how when I've just hit something pretty heavy, I'll say something and Brother Scott will amen at the wrong time and I can pick on him, get everybody laughing, and get you back like I did this morning. That's not a psychology thing. That's just knowing your crowd. So, everybody doing all right? We need to rear our kids differently. Kids need to learn discipline. You're not going to warp their psyche. They need taught the truth. Something needs warped every once in a while. Dad didn't call it a psyche, and I'm not going to tell you in public what he called it, but it got warped a few times. It got reshaped. Now, wait a minute. Our kids ought to be different. We need to stop thinking that the public educational system is best. I said this morning, I think, in the meeting after for the school people. Do you realize that 80% of your property tax goes to nothing but education? 80%. Your property tax. Everybody here is paying for the public school system, and our kids can't read and write. Yeah. What do we have to show for all that money? I'm going to say something here. Our Christian school is not going to be anything like what the world has. And you ought to be glad. So, God says that Satan comes in and spoils through philosophy. You know, Baptist preachers have been tired of being called stupid so long that they want to be accepted by the intelligent crowd. Well, I've seen the intelligent crowd. I don't want to be accepted by them. They don't bother me. Give me a bunch of crazy old rednecks any day, amen? I love it when Brother Larry can say, hey, preacher, you know this guy. He hunts on the other side of the property from us. I love that. He said, did you hear this shot on this day of deer season? Yeah, he said, that was me. I said, well, did you hear this one? Yeah, I said, that was me. I said, did you hear a few the last couple weeks? Yeah, what was it? I said, been hunting rabbits and squirrels. He said, good, get rid of them things. I'll take that over somebody that has, you know, 7 college degrees and they don't have any temperature. A lot of people impressed with their own education. Well, you didn't go to an accredited college. I'll match my education up against most anybody. I'm not afraid of it. Since when did the Little League have to accredit the Major League Baseball? Number two, Satan's attacks come with, the next thing God says here is through philosophy and vain deceit. That's interesting. That term vain deceit means seduce someone to error, deceive or delusion, purposely lead people wrongly. This is the immoral, high power press and politics of today. The United States media is purposely trying to lead people the wrong direction. Hollywood is trying to lead people the wrong direction. This is the success philosophy idea of today, that position, education, means that you can step on anyone to become successful. Can I tell you something? If you have to step on top of somebody to be bigger than they are, you're not very big. If you have to, this dog-eat-dog world of business, I hate that philosophy. I'm glad that if you follow me around and you say, preacher, I need help in this area, who would you recommend? And I'll say, go to this person, tell them I sent you. I'll guarantee 99 times out of 100 that business person will say, oh, I know Pastor Bush. Let me take care of you. Mrs. Shoebridge and I were talking about that just recently. She went and needed help with something. I said, go here, tell them I sent you, and trust what that person tells you. And he took care of them. He took care of her. And took care of her well. Say why. And by the way, I'm not afraid of that kind of thing. I'm glad I don't have to step on somebody and say, look what I can do. By the way, I don't get kickbacks for it. Don't want them. Wouldn't take them. This is the devil's idea that he has sold us, that I deserve the best of all I can get. Can I tell you something? Not a one of us deserve anything but hell. There's not a one of us that deserve the best of what's out there. Everybody doing all right? I need to obey God more. Then I get more of what God wants me to get. I'm not real worried about buying a $80,000 brand new truck. I like my old scratched up Ford F-150 with 160,000 miles on it. Say why? I don't need the best. It's getting me from point A to point B pretty reliably, fairly economically, and we're getting her done. If it wears out, I'll go find me another used one somewhere. This credit card and high debt availability of today is vain deceit. I'm going to warn you, the bottom's going to fall out of the economy in not too many months and years. Be careful having high debt. Be careful. Because when the bottom falls out, it's going to get ugly. I'm not against refinancing homes, but refinancing homes to pay off credit card debt and your house is, you say, well, right now the economy says my house is worth this, okay? Let's wait 2 years and find out what it's worth. And then you're going to be in trouble. This position and title of today, well, if I don't have a position, then I don't want it. I've got to have a, it amazes me. I can talk to preachers and they say, well, what kind of audiovisual ministry do you have? None. You don't have a social media ministry? No. Well, what about this ministry and this ministry? I said, it's all the work of God. It's all ministry. I don't have to give people a bunch of titles to entice them to come to church. I just say, y'all, we need somebody here. Could you help? I said, God wants servants, not people with titles. You know, if you could learn to work with no title, it'd be amazing how fast you'd move up. So, vain deceit. Seducing people to in a wrong direction on purpose. Boy, is that not what the world's doing? What is advertising? Vain deceit. I got to hurry. Number three, God also says that Satan uses something called the tradition of men. Let me give you a statement that you'll hear often, especially in the state of West Virginia. That's the way it's always been done. This is how it used to be. Some people live looking in the rearview mirror and only crash because they're not looking at what's in front of them. Do you realize the windshield's a whole lot bigger than the rearview mirror? The rearview is to keep you safe as you go ahead. It's not for you to look into and stare into while you drive. The backwards look is to be just that, a look, not a stare. And there's too many people living their life in the past. There's too many people living in what used to be, and they're used to wasers, and they're not isers. That's not good grammar, but it's good preaching, amen? Religion is a tradition. Christianity, biblically, is a truth. Religion is traditions passed down from generation to generation. Folks, I'm not interested in tradition. I'm interested in doing what God said. I know there was a time where churches had cemeteries. We're not going to have cemetery. I don't want it. Don't want nothing to do with it. I don't want to work every day over top of dead people. Sorry, love you, but once you're planted, I don't want to step on top of you every day. Just not the way I want to live. Is there anything wrong with that? No, but most of those churches have more people buried out back than attend church. They did it to make money. And now the churches are dead. Not all, all tradition is not bad. But it doesn't mean it has to be followed. My daughter, she said, "Dad," when she was getting married, "I want to walk the aisle and I'm not wearing shoes." I said, "Honey, that's not real traditional." She said, "Don't care." So there's nothing sinful saying you have to wear shoes. She was in West Virginia, by the way. My daughter walked the aisle in bare feet. "You broke tradition?" Yep. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing sinful with that. Y'all see where I'm going with this? There are some traditions that don't need to be followed. There are some things I'm stubborn about. I know that's hard to believe. But I've got somebody on my staff that's younger than me, just one. And he's keeping me relevant in the newer generation. We often find a compromise partway between his generation and where I'm at. I hate computers. Don't have one, don't want one. I do have an iPad, but I can't even find it, and it's been a year and a half, almost 2 years since I turned it on. I honestly don't even know where it's at right now. Now, wait a minute. There's going to be some things about our school that's not going to be like the public school because everybody's not going to be able to go online and find everything out they want to know. What happened to face-to-face, person-to-person issues? When it comes to people issues, you need to do it face-to-face, nose-to-nose, skin-to-skin. When we did that, we had less troubles in our schools. There's less chance of, "Well, you capitalized this word. You're mad at me." That's stupid. Sometimes my fat thumb hit the cap button. I'm too lazy to fix it. Is that not how it works? "You must be mad. You did that in all caps." "So? I thought it was funny." "I don't know." Tradition. Religion has turned into tradition. "Oh, we got to come in and we got to do all these things and we got to count the beads and light the candles and we got to do all these kinds of things and we got to sing the amen, amen," and all these other kind of things, you know, ooky, spooky, weirdo stuff. It has nothing to do with the Word of God. Amen. Nothing. If we come in someday and I change the order of service just to confuse you, I'll do it. I've got an order service and we get comfortable with it. But every once in a while, I'll mix that thing up. Just if we change the order or something, who cares? There's nothing written in stone that has to be exactly this way. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Number four, I'll finish with this. God also says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men," watch this, "after the rudiments of this world." The word rudiment is the word natural universe, the basic elements. Now look at me. This is your evolution crowd. By the way, evolution and anti-God go hand in hand. Did you know that evolution is the religion of communism? It's the way to explain God away. Did you know that the Russian oligarchy of communism, the originators of it, Karl Marx and others, when they got a hold of this, said that is exactly what we need to take over countries? We can get rid of God with the science, quote unquote, of evolution. And the more we believe evolution, the farther away from God we get. This is the LGBTQ alphabet soup crowd. Now it's LGBTQ plus because they have so many letters they don't want to put them all out there. And I was right years ago when I called them the alphabet soup crowd. Well, love is love. It doesn't matter who it's for. Well, I love my brothers in Christ, but we don't love each other that way. And that's just gross. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Amen.
That's just natural. No, it's not. The only time two bulls start pushing each other around is because they're chasing a cow. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. This is the BLM racism of today. The CRT and etc. By the way, they're the ones that are being racist. I'm not afraid to say that. CRT is racism. What it says is, people of color, this is their statement, have been suppressed by white people, so all white people are bad. That is called racism, is it not? I don't care if I was what color I am, that's racism. I think it's wrong to judge anybody by the color of their skin.
Right.
Period. I don't care what color skin people have. Good night. Depends on what time of year, what color your skin is. This morning it was blue. Get hot, it turns red. If you're a white person. I had a black deacon in South Carolina. He said, Brother Bush, he said, don't call black people colored. We ain't colored. We're black. He said, you white people are colored. He said, when you get sick, you turn green. When you get cold, you turn blue. When you're hot, you turn red. And when you, he said, and you call me colored? I said, you got a good point there, Brother Benny. Just kind of makes sense. Now, wait a minute. Who cares what color the skin is? But when the President of the United States says we're going to start doing things based on the color of people's skin, that's racism. I'm tired of Mexican-American and Asian-American and Black-American and this American and that American. How about we get rid of all the adjectives and let's just be American?
Amen.
There was a day when it was called the United States of America. Not the United States of blank America. And whatever adjective you want to put in there. These are the climate change people, the save the world people, the PETA people. You say PETA, yeah, that's the people that are against killing animals. Those are the kind of people I love just rubbing their nose in some pictures in my phone. Folks, can I tell you something? Plastic came from the same ground. It's not supposed to decompose. That's why we took it out of the ground and used it. Did you know that plastic is not supposed to be biodegradable? It came out of the ground. Did it not? So why are we worried about it not decomposing? And they call me weird. Did you know a plastic straw is a whole lot better than one of those stupid paper ones they got out now? Lord have mercy. Who in the world ever thought of a paper straw? It reminds you of those, back in the 70s for a while, they did that with milk in schools and they made the milk taste like, well, milk never tasted good, but you know, you can't even get through three sips before things disintegrating. Say, what do, preacher? Take your own plastic straw. In my lifetime, since in the last 40 years, we've gone from we're going to have a second ice age to the world's going to burn up because of fluorocarbons and CO2s and holes in the ozone to now we can't even decide what it is, so we have to call it climate change because it changes so fast. I never could understand how global warming caused blizzards. That still puzzles me. Folks, these are the rudiments of the world. These are, oh, we're going to use up all of our clean water. We're not going to ever have clean. Did you know there's not one less drop of water on the face of the earth now than there was 2,000 years ago? You realize that every drop of water gets reused? Every drop of it. Do you realize we have so much salt water in our world because that's what purifies the water? All the rivers run to the sea, and the salt adheres and the minerals adhere to it, drop it to the bottom of the ocean. God says, like your sins are in the bottom of the sea. Then it evaporates, the water goes up, makes clouds, comes over land, squeezes out, and we call it rain, and it comes back clean. Shazam. Amazing how that came from a big bang in the middle of somewhere where they can't even figure out where it came from. Folks, the rudiments of this world, if we would just use the Bible. Now watch this. God says, beware, lest any man spoil you. I wonder how many churches have been spoiled by these things. Recently, there was a pastor here for one of our gatherings, at one of our funerals. And he said, y'all recycle? I said, nope. I'm a rebel. He said, oh, I wished I had that ability. I said, got a pair of britches on, you do. He looked at me. He said, man, I'd make somebody mad. I said, I'd make them mad. It wouldn't bother me. We had a good talk. I said, I'm not about to. I said, now, if you want to go through my trash cans, go out here anytime you want. You can get all plastic you want. There's times of the year you don't want to go through my trash can because probably deer parts back in there. But you can get whatever you want. You say, preacher, are you against? I'm not against it. But I'm against being forced to do it. Amen. Especially because it's going back to the same place we got it from. God tells us Satan will use these four things: philosophy, vain deceit, traditions of men, and the rudiments of the world to spoil us. Look at the churches and religion in America today. Looks like Satan's had a pretty good job at it, hasn't he? Let's not let that happen to Grace Baptist Church. Let's not let him spoil us. Let's not let ourselves think we're something. We're nothing but a bunch of sinners saved by grace. We're spinning around on the same globe. One preacher that's a sinner talking to a bunch of other sinners trying to do our best to get closer to God. That's all it is. But we have a perfect book. Let's live by that book, not by philosophy. That's good. True story. Won't tell you the name. A couple people in here would know who it is. I'll code it the best I can. He was a very well-known preacher, Bible teacher. And they used to use his name and then the words ology after it because he taught a lot of philosophy. And I said, watch out. Watch out. By the way, I was right. Watch out. Destroyed a church, destroyed his life, destroyed his marriage. Has spent years in prison. Yeah. He and I got into a discussion one day. He said, well, you wouldn't understand that, Brother Craig. That's heavy philosophy. I said, you're right, I wouldn't. I said, I just understand that old book right there. Slammed it down on the desk. I said, I don't care about your philosophy. I care about that book right there. How about we get back to the Bible and not philosophy? Let's bow our head and close our eyes. I wonder, are we letting these things into our home? Are we letting them into our own personal life? Philosophy, vain deceit, traditions, the rudiments of the world.